It's Friday, June 11th, 2021, and I'm Dave Sobel. Two things to know today. Let's figure out what happened with that internet outage this week, and a roundup of security news, including how fast criminals use a fish to count. This is the Business of Tech. I want to revisit the outage from earlier this week. I don't cover outages, because by the time you hear about them here, they're over. But let's discuss this one and what happened. Tuesday morning, Fastly, a content delivery network, had an outage for 49 minutes. Sites were offline during the outage with different results, such as a 503 error or images and formatting not working. So what happened? Turns out it was an undiscovered software bug activated when one customer made a change to their configuration. The company indicated they were aware of the problem within 1 minute and restored service to 95% of the network within 49 minutes. So why do we care? There's two reasons I want to discuss this. First, both of those within the technical operation of the internet praised the company for both its fast response and its effective communication, both during the incident as well as after the fact with an incident report. The takeaway lesson? Communications matter. A lot. And the second is broader, and I'm referencing a protocol article here. Other portions of the news coverage were about the perceived concentration of power in a small number of companies. And as that article points out, that's something of a red herring. The internet does have choke points and software has bugs. Those aren't the issues to worry about. This service operated by design in both cases. It executed well on handling its issue, but it's also both available as a choice to use by providers and has competitors. It's up to us technologists to talk about it correctly. And I skipped security yesterday just to make sure not every day is the same. But now there's a lot to talk about. JBS, the beef producer hit by ransomware, confirmed they did pay $11 million after an initial demand of $22.5. They did so to prevent stolen data from being leaked and to mitigate possible technical issues. The quick timeline: when they spotted server irregularities and found the demand for a ransom, they called the FBI and began shutting down systems to slow the attack. They called in outside help and leveraged secondary encrypted backups to bring systems back up while maintaining the negotiations with the attackers. All the time, they kept law enforcement informed. Microsoft has further warned about attacks on Kubernetes clusters, one running Kubeflow machine learning are being targeted for the purpose of mining crypto. Attackers are scanning in advance and building a list of potential targets, which they come back to later. They used exposed Kubeflow dashboards, which should only be open for local access. And if you wonder how long it takes to leverage compromised accounts, Agari did some testing. Half of accounts compromised in phishing attacks are manually accessed within 12 hours of the username and password being leaked. 20% are accessed within 1 hour. This was done by planting a series of fake credentials across websites and forums to do the testing. There's a new double extortion operation called Prometheus. They're leveraging a new variant of ransomware Thanos, which has been available for well over a year. They've hit 30 victims across multiple industries, and Palo Alto's Unit 42 security team has highlighted them due to their rapid growth. Like others, they're deliberate. Research first, then tailored ransom demands. There's also a new collection of 1.2 terabytes of user data. NordLocker found this one. And a new breach Congress might notice, as iConstituent, a platform for politicians to reach residents, was hit this week, and about 60 members of Congress use the platform. CISA has a new vulnerability disclosure program for ethical hackers. The platform will allow civilian federal agencies to receive, triage, and fix vulnerabilities and share that information about security flaws with other agencies. The American Enterprise Institute has issued a call for corporate cybersecurity. The full statement is linked in the show notes, but of key note is a focus on corporate boards. Quoting the piece: in a 2020 PricewaterhouseCoopers survey, two-thirds of respondents said a cyber breach would reflect negatively on their fiduciary responsibilities as board members. Yet only 37% of respondents stated the board understood the company's crisis management plan very well. And just 32% said the board had a strong understanding of its company's cybersecurity vulnerabilities. Finally, going to send you into the weekend with a homework piece. Trend Micro has a long piece about double extortion, how the criminals work, and how to address it. It tracks the Neophyllum ransomware specifically as a case study and the 11-year development cycle from small product to full scale of leveraging zero-day vulnerabilities. And a headline? The way in is often weak credentials. So why do we care? There's a lot here today. The information is provided for education, but the AEI article is what I wanted to highlight. I've been focused here myself. It's about financial incentives. If boards start caring about these breaches, company performances becomes tied to cybersecurity. Perhaps this is a sign things are changing. Think you know PC-Matic? Think again. PC-Matic is working with MSPs to deliver true zero trust, default deny endpoint security, allowing only trusted applications and blocking all the rest. A lightweight, simple to deploy, and easy to manage approach to application allow listing. Layering a default deny approach provides MSPs of all sizes the ability to focus again on prevention, and PC-Matic delivers this without impacting performance or efficiency. Find out more by visiting pcmatic.com/MSP and ask about their exclusive lead sharing program backed by a primetime national TV campaign. Thanks for listening. We will have a bonus episode this weekend diving into misinformation and back again on Monday. Have a great weekend.